This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, releasing terrorists and traitors is the exclamation point that President Obama is putting on his 8 years of harmful policies. There is more fallout from yesterday's commutation of Bradley Chelsea Manning. Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks tweeted, quote, "Manning's commutation is shocking, puts national security at risk, and encourages others to divulge military secrets," end quote. Congressman Brooks joins us in just a moment. Also, more confirmation hearings today. Having failed to stop Senator Jeff Sessions as Mr. Trump's pick for attorney general, liberals have pivoted to Department of Health and Human Services nominee Congressman Dr. Tom Price. How did they fare? Evan Wilt with World Magazine was there, and he'll give us an update a little later here on Washington Watch. Also, another Trump nominee before the Senate Confirmation Committee today, EPA Administrator nominee Scott Pruitt, who happens to be the Attorney General from Oklahoma, is facing some tough questions in his hearing. In his confirmation hearing today, Pruitt said, "It is possible to protect the environment while allowing responsible pro-business policies." Democrats have criticized Pruitt for repeatedly suing the EPA as Attorney General of Oklahoma. His views on climate change have also been questioned because he just doesn't buy it, that it's all about global warming, is all about man-made use of fossil fuels. See, it's really fascinating, and we'll talk more about this later, how far this administration has pushed America to the left. And so the standard by which people are being measured, some of these nominees who have just normal views like you are having to really defend those views. We're going to talk more about that. But also an alarming story out of Colorado. Middle school students in a suburban Denver school district have reportedly been provided online access to, quote unquote, research material, which includes pornographic sex ed resources. Now, as outrageous as that is, now remember, these 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, as outrageous as that is, the most disturbing aspect is that it was hidden from the students' parents. One of those parents, Drew Patterson, joins me with the details a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you happen to miss anything on your way home, you got to stop and pick up some milk or bread, be sure and check out the website. You can listen to all of it later if you miss anything, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, keep up with me, at T. Perkins. All right, in his final days, President Obama has issued 209 commutations and 64 pardons. While several of these actions have raised concerns, none have raised the public ire like the commutation of Bradley, now Chelsea Manning. Manning was charged with 22 different crimes related to releasing around 750,000 classified documents, giving WikiLeaks their start. For his crimes, Manning was sentenced to 35 years in prison. Now, Manning's advocates claim the sentence was excessive, but was it really? Joining us now is Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks. On November the 8th, he was elected as the representative from Alabama's 5th Congressional District. Among others, he serves on the House Armed Services Committee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
My pleasure.
You tweeted out yesterday that this was shocking. You have concerns about its impact on national security and what it might do to encourage others to divulge secrets going forward.
You've got national security at stake. And for those people who just think of that as a term, they need to be thinking of it more in line of 300 and some odd million Americans whose lives are at risk if we don't have the kind of weaponry or capabilities necessary to stop foreign nations from attacking and trying to kill us. And what Mr. Manning did was share classified information that put that national security at risk, which in turn means he contributed to putting at risk the lives of hundreds of millions of Americans. That's serious.
Well, there's
7 years in jail or in a military prison.
Right.
and is Congressman, an inadequate punishment given the seriousness of the offense.
And there are some congressmen that are saying that it's not just hypothetical that this release could endanger, but in fact that we have this did lead to the deaths of some of those who were providing information to the United States that was divulged in this release of information.
Well, in my view, he should have been executed as a traitor for having committed treason against the United States. That's how seriously I take someone divulging classified information.
Well, let's take on this issue, Congressman Brooks. They say that the penalty for him was excessive. But when you look at others, now they're suggesting that his actions were more like a whistleblower because he didn't agree with what the United States was doing, and so therefore he was releasing this information to expose what he thought was wrongdoing. Now, Aldrich Ames, who is serving a life sentence without possibility of parole, was one of the someone who released classified information. You might remember Jonathan Pollard. He was a former intel analyst for the Navy. He received life in prison for same thing, espionage. He released information to our ally Israel that he felt was being kept from Israel. He served 28 years of his life sentence, according to federal guidelines, and was released in 2015. So in light of that, and there are other cases, Robert Hansen, was this sentence of 35 years excessive?
No, I don't believe it was excessive, in as much as in certain periods of time, he would have been executed for having betrayed his country. But let's bear in mind that there are basically two types of traitors. One does it for money, and the other does it because, in some misguided way, they think it's the right thing to do. Neither motivation affects the risk that it poses to the United States of America. The damage that is done regardless of motive. And when you're talking about putting at risk the lives of 300-plus million American citizens, the stakes are so high that you have to punish people who engage in espionage at the most draconian of levels in order to deter others from perhaps actually leaking the information that results in massive loss of American life. And that's why the penalties in the past have been so important and so severe. It's because of the risk that is associated with the release of classified information. This, you know, all this kind of begs two different questions, too, that you just have to wonder. One of the things I wonder about is if Mr. Manning had not done the transgender thing, would Barack Obama still have committed his sentence? Another thing you have to wonder is whether this is a precursor to a presidential pardon for the endangerment of classified information done by Hillary Clinton. So we'll find out over the next couple of days where Barack Obama is taking this. But still, this is just another bad example by a bad administration that does not understand the seriousness of national security classified documents and seems to not care that much about putting America at risk.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks, my guest, talking about the president commuting the sentence of Bradley Chelsea Manning yesterday, sentenced to 35 years for releasing over 755,000 classified documents, which essentially gave WikiLeaks their start. That's where they got going. You made reference to something, Congressman, regarding the background of this case. In fact, in the defense of commuting the sentence of Manning, a lot of discussion about how he was confused at the time, depressed because of his sexual identity, and whether or not that was a factor in the president. If he were not so-called transgender, would the president have released him from prison? It's interesting that the Gallup did an analysis of this administration, and that when they look at, and this is they do it, this is ongoing, they look at 19 policy areas. And in all but five, and practically the only one where they did extremely well, was on issues related to gays and lesbians. On other things like national security, crime, they got negative ratings from the American public. So was that more the driving issue here, the national security? Was the fact that this guy's sexual identity?
I wish I could read the mind of Barack Obama and know for sure. It does raise a legitimate question as to what weight was given and what benefit was given to Mr. Manning from his having been through the transgender process. And I call him Mr. because this is science. This is medicine. And there's facts, and there are things that aren't facts. And the fact of the matter is, if you were to test his DNA, he's still a guy. You can do all sorts of sordid things to one's body, but that doesn't change your DNA and what you are. But regardless of whether any of that played a role in Manning's decision to put America at risk, that still does not change the deterrence effect of severe punishment for those people who commit espionage against America, thereby putting hundreds of millions of American lives at risk.
The
stakes are just too high. You have to punish them severely in order to discourage future espionage taking place that may actually cost a large number of American lives.
There should be no extenuating circumstances. When you commit a crime that puts the nation at risk, you pay the penalty for doing so, regardless of your gender confusion that you may be experiencing at the time. You're on the House Armed Services Committee. Now, prior to your arrival, the House Armed Services Committee, the Senate Armed Services Committee, spoken repeatedly, the entire Congress, about Guantanamo Bay, that they did not want to close it. They did not feel like these terrorists that were detained there should be released. But yet the president, again, on his way out, released 10 of those this week. The actions by the president repeatedly are putting this nation at risk, and I'm wondering how significant is the damage that he's done?
That's hard to measure. Certainly, American lives, particularly our military personnel overseas, are at greater risk when you release enemy combatants, keeping in mind that we still are engaged in a war on terror. Traditionally, prisoners of war are released after the war is over, not while you're still fighting. Nonetheless, this president has chosen to put our enemies back in the field where they can kill our men and women in uniform on the one hand, or commit acts of terror against American civilians on the other hand. I cannot fathom or understand Barack Obama's thinking in this regard. I don't understand why he believes or seems to believe that it is perfectly all right in a kind-hearted way to risk American lives, as he does in so many different fields, not just here with Gitmo, not with Manning, border security. You can go down the list. And he seemingly cares more about our foes than he cares about the Americans who are being killed by the consequences of his conduct.
Well, Congressman, I guess we have a day and a half to see what else he may do on his way out the door. Congressman Mo Brooks, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tony.
All right, Congressman Mo Brooks. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, more confirmation hearings today. President-elect Trump's pick to head Health and Human Services was the target for liberals today. We'll talk about that next when we return.
Can a Facebook post save a life? Or a tweet or an Instagram picture? At Family Research Council's 12th annual Pro-Life Con Digital Action Summit, pro-life activists from around the country will gather to explore the impact that digital media has on the culture of human life. Watch free online the morning of Friday, January 27th from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, activists, and testimonies from families and individuals who choose life. At the intersection of cutting-edge technology and a passion for the lives of the unborn, you'll be educated and empowered to better reach your community on platforms like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and more. You'll be better prepared to make an impact for the pro-life movement anytime and anywhere. Also, see live coverage from the National Mall as the March for Life gets underway. Tune in on January 27th at frc.org/prolifecon. Again, visit frc.org/prolifecon for more information.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Police officers deserve our respect, honor, and our prayers. Every day they put their lives on the line to protect and to serve in an increasingly hostile climate. Yet currently hanging in the U.S. Capitol is a piece of art depicting police officers as pigs. This offensive painting was chosen by Democrat Congressman William Clay from Missouri as the winner of an art contest from his home district. Congressman Clay described this insulting depiction of police as, quote, "the most creative expression that I've witnessed over the last 16 years, unquote. Call Congressman Clay and urge him to remove this reprehensible painting. It's not a question of censorship. It's a matter of respect for the police who risk their lives for our safety. Call the Capitol at 202-224-3121 and ask to speak with Congressman Clay. 202-224-3121. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 1,790 families have had their homes rebuilt because of you, the listener at American Family Radio, when you've partnered with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims to no fault of their own who lose everything to see volunteers show up and help them rebuild. 2 years ago, we started a rapid response division that goes within 72 hours and since then have gone to 15 communities across America. Would you consider becoming a part of 8 Days of Hope as we continue to look for ways to grow the ministry in 2017. Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved, submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well. Please continue to pray for the ministry as we look forward to what God has in store for us. Thank you so much for your prayers, your financial support, and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
AFR urges you to support the ministry of 8 Days of Hope at 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're a frequent listener to Washington Watch, I invite you to become a partner with us. This program comes to you only because of folks like you who have partnered with the Family Research Council. To find out more how you can do that, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, Health and Human Services Department nominee Congressman Tom Price, who is a doctor, was in the hot seat on Capitol Hill today as one of four Senate confirmation hearings took place for President-elect Trump's cabinet. Now, the president will be sworn in at noon on Friday. Friday afternoon, we should see probably about four of these nominees should be confirmed and take their post within his cabinet. It'll be a few weeks for all of them to take their place. Well, joining us now is Evan Wilt. He is a reporter with World Magazine who has been in the confirmation hearing today. We're going to get an update from him. Evan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, good to be with you. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're absolutely welcome. Glad to get an update from you. So your assessment of how Tom Price did today as he fielded some pretty hard questions from especially Democratic members of the panel today.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Tom Price, he's a seasoned politician. Overall, he held himself very well today. Today's hearing is more of a courtesy hearing. Next week, he will be asked more questions from the Senate Finance Committee, and they will be the committee to actually vote on his confirmation. But today, we had a hearing, and we had a chance for him to answer questions about his views on health care, on the Affordable Care Act, and what his role will be as a possible leader of the Health and Human Services Department. Today, a lot of political theater, quite literally in this case. You had Democrats asking about his stock investments, about his commitment to insuring Americans, about his commitment to making sure low-income people have access to affordable health care. Tom Price, he showed he had a grasp of the issues. He showed his experience as someone who has worked in health care. And he showed that he's taken this, from a humble perspective. He knows there's a lot of work to be done, and it's a very important position to be the cabinet secretary for HHS.
I mean, he certainly does know the issue. I mean, he's a doctor, he's a surgeon. But as a member of the House, he led, I believe he led the Doctors Caucus, at least for a portion of the time there, and spearheaded a replacement plan for Obamacare. So this is not something he's just recently come to in terms of studying this issue. Is it your impression that many of the liberals on Capitol Hill in the Democratic Party, not all, but some, having lost in their bid to stop Senator Jeff Sessions in his it hasn't been confirmed yet, but in his bid to become Attorney General, does it appear that they may be pivoting to target now Tom Price because of his connection to the repeal of one of President Obama's hallmark pieces of law?
Well, you know, all these hearings, well, most of them have been pretty hotly contested. I think you're right about that assessment. I think in Tom Price's case, he is kind of the figurehead of the incoming Trump administration's plan to replace Obamacare. And, you know, health care has been all the talk in, you know, 2017, the start of this new Congress. You know, I was on the Hill when Democrats unleashed their new slogan. They wanted to say Republicans are ready to make America sick again instead of make America great again. And Tom Price, you know, in this open setting was, you know, bearing the front of a lot of those questions. Tom Price has a plan. He put forth a plan a number of years. He's one of the first congressmen to introduce actual legislation to put ideas to paper about what a replacement plan to Obamacare would look like. I think right now Republicans are still weighing the different options that they have. They're weighing the timing of the actual repeal of the Affordable Care Act and what those steps are going to be needed to take. I think the sequencing of this whole process is just as important as the policy. That was something that the Senate chairman of the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, Lamar Alexander, said today. But, you know, he also said that Obamacare is, you know, like a collapsing bridge, and the first thing we need to do for lawmakers, they need to help the people that are struggling under that bridge, and but also be working on building those new bridges as we're repairing the old ones.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Evan Wilt is my guest, reporter with World Magazine, was on Capitol Hill today, tracking some of these confirmation hearings. Evan, from your perspective, are any of these nominees in question in terms of their confirmation, or some of them having a more difficult time than others?
Well, I think some are definitely having more difficult time than others. I think we saw that a lot last week with the confirmation hearings of Jeff Sessions for Attorney General, and even more specifically with Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State. I think with Tom Price, looking at him, there hasn't been any Republicans that have openly said that they will vote no on him. I think they still have questions for Tom Price about what steps he would actually take with, you know, this Obamacare replacement plan. But, you know, the Senate Republicans have a 52-48 majority in the Senate. They only need 50 votes to pass to confirm these nominations. So Tom Price appears to be safe. Someone like Tillerson might have a little more questions about whether he actually will go through. But so far, there hasn't been clear indications that any of Trump's picks will not be confirmed.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, only got to get 51 votes, you got 52 Republicans, I would think that they're going to be able to keep them all together, and McConnell's been doing a pretty good job of that. But we'll see. I think you're right. I think Tillerson still has some questions that has to be answered. Not everybody signed on to him. Evan, thanks so much for joining us and giving us an update.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Evan Wilt with World Magazine. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Yeah, It's going to be a few weeks before they get this first round of cabinet secretaries confirmed, and then they got to come back with deputy secretaries that also have to go through the confirmation process. So this is going to be going on for quite some time. But of course, the initial clash, if you will, is over these first nominees, and of course, as we talk about Tom Price heading up Department of Health and Human Services, which is going to be implementing the replacement of Obamacare, that makes him a target. So anyway, we're going to continue to track that. But coming up next, Are parents being blocked from knowing what type material their 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students are accessing through a school website? We'll talk about it with one of the parents. Don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, December CPI, that's Consumer Price Index, up 0.3%. No surprise when we look at producer price indexes and where they have been, of course, that is no surprise. So 0.3%, not so bad. One of the things that we have been seeing is the job creation trend. We've talked about GM. We talked about Amazon, Walmart, Ford Motor, Boeing. Bayer announced yesterday, they are, by the way, Bayer is the company that will be buying, or looks like they're looking to take over Monsanto. They have pledged to add thousands of jobs in the U.S. So that is another one that came out right after the Walmart Amazon numbers came out. Target cuts its fourth quarter profit sales. No news there. I mean, we knew that was coming. One of the things, disappointing traffic. Sales and trends in stores down. Same store sales expected to decline about 1.5%. And that's what they're looking for in the fourth quarter. So total sales fell 4.9% in the month of December. That is not good news, folks. This is Brian Cornell, chairman and CEO of Target Company, is now expecting per share earnings to drop to about $1.45 compared to $1.55. This is the president, chairman, CEO, Brian Cornell, who, in my opinion, should have been fired some time ago for making the brilliant decision to alienate millions of shoppers. So that's fine. He made that decision. He went along with it. So let's hope this disappointing traffic is not a surprise.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. All right, according to parents, children attending middle schools in the Cherry Creek School District in suburban Denver, Colorado, are now being given access to extremely graphic sexual and homosexual pornography, material encouraging them to become sexually active. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on here that I don't even want to talk about on radio. But what is even more outrageous, it appears that access to the website, which is by password, restricts parents from reaching the same pornographic sites that their children can access with their password. That, to me, is a huge problem. With us now is Drew Patterson. Drew and his wife, Robin, have a daughter in the eighth grade in the Cherry Creek School District. Drew, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me on, Tony.
So, Drew, is that an accurate description of the material and how students are accessing it?
It's a very accurate description, and it's compounded as well by the district refusing to issue notification letters to the parents, warning them that this material might be available through these portals. And so not all, only are they hiding it from the parents through the parent login to the school website, but then they are refusing to let parents know that this danger exists.
Now, I understand your wife, Robin, who has a PhD in research, was working in the district's website and noticed this resource link through the portal where the students can quickly find their way to this pornographic material. You've tried to bring this to the attention of school officials, superintendent, and others, and they've pretty much just kind of blown you off.
Yeah, pretty much. It's been a long struggle. This has been going on for 5 months. We've attended each monthly school board meeting since we found it approximately 5 months ago, some of them very hostile, very heated. We are met with, typically in a school board meeting, you get 3 minutes to make your presentation. And for the most part, it's not a question and answer, so they don't answer any of your questions. But on occasion, when we have presented at the school board meeting, there has been some evidence to hostility. The superintendent shouted at my wife. There's been some sort of sarcastic, derogatory remarks. We've had a two-hour meeting with the superintendent, the assistant superintendent, and the CIO, all of whom agreed that a large portion of this material cannot be filtered out by their current filters.
Now, I also understand that the superintendent had reported you to the police for using obscene remarks at one of the school board meetings, and they were not actually remarks. You were quoting from the material that was available to the children.
That's absolutely correct, and it's ironic that they would refer to a school board or a district policy preventing the use of obscenity in kind of in defense and to shut us down from arguing about their same policy should be prohibiting the provision of obscenities to children.
That's quite incredible to me. Drew, how are other parents responding to this as it's becoming more widely known that this is taking place?
It started out slow, and we did have a couple of parents that expressed some interest, but they're somewhat reluctant to get involved early because they feared for any intimidation or retaliation against their kids at school, which I think parents have been experiencing. But as this story gets out, more and more parents are joining, and it's interesting to note that this isn't restricted to either the Cherry Creek School District or the state of Colorado. It is nationwide where schools are using these particular databases such as EBSCO, ProQuest, Sears Knowledge Source, ABC Clio, and the account exec for EBSCO has admitted that they have non-censorship agreements with their publishers that restrict them from censoring any of the information within their databases. So it's just a free-for-all. They send it out there, and they disclaim any responsibility for the use. The schools say, well, our filters will filter it out, and it doesn't. And in any event, it sidesteps the issue of kids doing homework at home.
Right.
They put all the responsibility on the kids, and if something happens, well, the kids are to blame.
Well, Drew, we're almost out of time. I want to ask you this aspect of where parents have a different password that restricts them from getting to the same material that the kids have access to. That sounds deliberate.
I would think so, yeah. I would think so. It's, again, an attempt to hide information from parents.
Oh, incredible. How can other parents become more aware of this?
I think what they need to do is go to their school website, go into the navigate to the library catalog, and if you see any resource tiles such as EBSCO, EBSCO Host, ABC Clio, ProQuest, or Sears Knowledge Source, if you see those there, you may not be able to get into them, but if you see them, you have reason to be concerned.
Wow. Drew, thanks so much for joining us, and thank you for taking up this call. I hope that you'll continue until you see it resolved.
We will continue. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Drew Patterson. Folks, look, what can you say? You need to be aware of what your kids are being taught. If they're in the public schools, you need to be aware of what they're being exposed to. And I believe this is intentional because we see this repeatedly where schools don't want the parents to know. Now, it's not always the schools. It's some of those activists that are pushing this agenda. This is how they entice kids in. When we come back, we're going to talk more about it. I want to get your thoughts here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose. If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, We'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning.
This is a time of madness. It really is. This is from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He said, evil attacks the weakest, denies truth and love, is defeated through Jesus Christ. And I just love that. Evil is defeated through Jesus Christ. And so let's not be afraid. And if you are afraid, then, you know, make yourself right with God.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
The gay agenda, Islam, liberation theology, aggressive socialism. You ask yourself, how should I respond to these attacks on my Christian faith? How can I share Christ in a sinful culture? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. An online Master of Arts in Apologetics from WBS will prepare you to defend and share your faith in an increasingly hostile world. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning challenge culture. WBS.edu.
Isn't it refreshing to have a president that isn't hostile to Christianity? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's no question about it. The Christian religion was dominant in early America, and there's a reason our country was called a Christian nation. We're going to see this rich history when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour, but you can do both of those tours with us if you would like to. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian as he tells us about our great Christian heritage and history. For more information on either of these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The number 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. I'm told I say it too fast. 866-372-7234. The issue here, I think it was with Drew Patterson out at Cherry Creek School District, and I hope you were listening to that so that you can check on what your children, this is middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students, that, you know, everything's online now and you can get so many resources. And why this is an important issue, especially when kids have access to pornographic material, this is very dangerous for the children. I mean, it's addictive. I mean, we are nearing a pandemic of addiction to pornography, most of it now through the internet. And so when you're exposing kids to these things, these pictures, and then, of course, if you read this, you can go to the website, tonyperkins.com. I think we have a link to their material and some of the articles about this. When you look at what is actually being described and encouraged through this portal and this website, this is leading kids to experiment, and this has a lasting impact, and it's a way that kids get hooked on pornography, which, I mean, look, we've talked about that on this program before. It has unbelievable consequences for them. So here's the deal. What's happening is, and I don't think it's necessarily every school district doing this with ill intent, but I think there are those behind pushing this material that this is how our kids are prey. They go after our children. Now, some will mock and scoff at that, but it is true. It is reality. Why else would we have such material for our children? Why is it there? And then why would parents be prohibited from seeing that it's there? So I just want to, maybe you've experienced something like that in your school district. Maybe you've uncovered something, or maybe you've looked at your kids' textbooks. I know a lot of stuff's online. Some schools don't even allow them to take the textbooks home anymore. But have you discovered this, seen some things, and what has been your experience? I do hope that you are, if your children are in the public schools, that you're paying close attention to what they're learning. By the way, I may want to get to this. I left it on my desk, so maybe my assistant who's listening will get this. A report on the hearing today of the president's nominee for Secretary of Education, and how liberals made such a fuss over the fact that Betsy DeVos had given money to Christian schools and as opposed to giving money to public schools. And go figure. I mean, why do you give money to public schools? But anyway, we have to be involved in the education of our children. Now, you might send them to private school, Christian school. You might homeschool them. And you might not have the ability, financial ability, or the time to homeschool them, although I would strongly encourage you to think of that as a possibility. There are curriculum out there. There are programs online that you can make it very easy. Anyone can educate their children today and in a way that's even better than most public schools. All right, so I think it's something you should pray about and consider. But if they're in the public schools, you still have a responsibility to watch over them and guide them. God gave that responsibility to you. Train up your child in the way they should go. We are the ones, as parents, to educate our children. We cannot delegate that responsibility to anyone else. We can give the authority, we can delegate it, but we still ultimately are responsible for how the children are taught and what they're taught and their spiritual well-being. So I want to hear from you. If you've experienced something like this, you've seen something like this, this is one way you can alert other parents, just as Drew did. I hope you took notes of that. If not, we'll have that clip posted on the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can kind of follow that as a tutorial on how to uncover this on the portal of your students, their school's website. 866-372-7234. We're first going to go to Texas, where Mark is on the line. Mark, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. As soon as I heard the program today, it just made the hair stand up at the back of my neck, because we have experienced the exact same thing. And it's in very, very subtle ways. And I really do believe, first of all, we live in an era where we lack discernment, that when the enemy is absolutely so deceptive, and you're absolutely right, we need to strengthen ourselves biblically and learn about discernment, or relearn about the Holy Spirit's discernment. But we experience the exact same thing in a number of ways. And when we got blocked in our public school, we tried to go over the principal's head and go to the district. And then again, at the district level, we were not able to speak or allowed to even speak to our principal's supervisor. We found out that who we were going through was a PR person. And the district supervisor even has 3 PR people. They're not even associated or affiliated with curriculum at all. Their sole purpose is to sales pitch people back in line. And that's what's really scary to me. But the exact same thing in curriculum on a number of levels, part of it having to do with Earth Day, but sexually, absolutely, even at a second grade level, curriculum was being introduced that we knew nothing about until our child came home with the information. When we tried to dig deeper, we could not get there.
And so what was the final outcome with that, Mark?
Eventually what we ended up having to do was we pulled our child out and we went to private school, but then we found that the private schools that we looked at, we were in private school for 2 years and they were Christian school. I'm not going to give their name, but what we found was that most of the private schools mirror the public curriculum and are simply unaware of it. And in addition to that, the teachers, as I dug into that, found out, well, the teachers, in order to get their certification, they really have to be certified in the public school methodology anyway. So the private schools are even becoming more and more and more in lockstep with public curriculum. We eventually ended up having to pull out, but we were never able to get to the bottom of the question about what was fed our child. If I could throw one phrase in, it's, I can find out more about what goes into my child's body at lunchtime than I can find out about what goes into my child's mind the rest of the day. And that is a scary thought.
Wow. It is. It is. Mark, thanks so much for calling and sharing that. Just a really a warning to all parents out there to be watching what your children are being exposed to. And I mean, there's a lot of bad material in the curriculum that's being used. But I'm going to tell you, this online stuff where they're seeing these graphic pictures is extremely, extremely harmful. Anyone who deals with addictions and pornography in particular will tell you that this is it is insidious, and it's very, very difficult to overcome. I mean, we've had people who've called on the program the days that we've dealt with this and have expressed that they've had this for years, and it's been very difficult for them to overcome. Children are being exposed to this at very, very young ages today. Mark, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you calling. Let's go to Isaac, also in Texas. Isaac, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony.
How you doing?
Hey, this is a very, very important issue that our society has completely shunned and ostracized. And it's not just the children. We always talk about the children, but in fact, pornography has devastating impacts on adults. I myself struggled with it during my youth, during my younger years, and it destroyed my life at the time. And it destroys families, it destroys marriages, it destroys morality, it destroys the concept of marriage. This is something that is extremely important. You know, I even heard that it can be done. We can shut down the pornography industry in this country. In Australia, they managed to do it, not by making it illegal, though it should be illegal because it is, in fact, secondhand prostitution. It should be illegal under that definition if we can get that into the courts. But you don't even have to do that. The way they ran the business out of Australia was simply by making people have to register for it, sign a fee, and explain to the government why they needed pornography in their homes and how they were going to keep it away from their children. And I think only, 11 people actually signed up for pornography in Australia? Like, it was essentially shut down. It
right.
can be done. This is something very important. We have to figure out a way to get pornography off the Internet in this country.
Yeah, it used to, when people had to go to the peep shows and the adult bookstores, there was a little bit of public shame in going in there. But now and that's why we've seen the explosion. And so you're absolutely correct. It is not just children. But my point is that this is a part of school curriculum that is exposing children to what fits the definition of pornographic material. Now, I know it's not Playboy, but it is sex ed material that's pornographic in both the pictures and the descriptions, which, you know, young minds are inquisitive. And on the Internet, you don't have to do much at all to be able to one click or two clicks, and you're able to go over to even more explicit stuff because your appetite was kind of wet by this material that is provided through your school. And that leads to what you were saying, Isaac. It's a long trail of devastation, addiction that affects self-image. It affects individuals emotionally, psychologically. And it does do great damage to relationships, intimate relationships. In fact, we talked about this, it's been a few months back, cover piece on, I'm trying to remember what magazine it was, Time maybe, I don't remember, it was a prominent publication, about the effects of pornography that many people are experiencing today that keeps them from being able to have intimacy with their, you know, hopefully their spouse or whatever. But it's affected their relationships because they're so addicted to that pornography. Isaac, thanks so much for listening, calling in, and sharing that with us. Let's go to Louisiana, where Tim is on the line. Tim, welcome to Washington Watch.
How's it going, Tony?
Quite well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. On your comments today, first off, I'd like to say that my wife and I, we have chosen to take that advice, and we have chosen to homeschool our kids. It's not something that financially we were really set to do. I'm a middle-class working dad making less than 40 grand a year, but we saw the importance of doing it to protect our children from this. We have three boys under the age of five, and just coming from a background of pornographic addiction myself, I just want to stress to parents, you know, it is so important that we, you know, just take the initiative. I mean, growing up in around that same age, you know, middle school, that's when I got introduced to it, and, you know, my parents saw it as, you know, a typical, you know, it's normal, you know, a boy's going to go through this phase, but it's not normal, and they never took that initiative to, you know, to put the fire out when it was small, you know, to pull that little tree out when it was small. Instead, it grew, and you know how hard it is to get rid of an oak.
That's a good illustration. You're absolutely right. Tim, thanks so much for calling. By the way, Tim, you'll never regret, you and your wife will never regret the investment that you've made in homeschooling your kids. Yes, it may be financially a setback because both of you are not in the workforce, but I can assure you, even though it's difficult, and I'm sure your wife, if she's doing the bulk of it, there are days when she thinks, I can't do this anymore. You will never regret it. In the time that you've invested in your kids. And as the scripture says, you know, train up your child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Now, you are planting the seeds. You're laying the foundation. I wanted to mention this. There was a Politico article regarding the confirmation hearing of Betsy DeVos, who's been selected as the Secretary of Education. There was one of these left-leaning news outlets, Mother Jones, analyzed 15 years of their tax filings, Dick and Betsy DeVos, and said that during that period that DeVos has spent nearly $100 million in philanthropic giving. And it said they've donated large amounts to hospitals, health research, arts organizations. These records show an overwhelming emphasis on funding Christian schools and evangelical missions and conservative free market think tanks like the Acton Institute. And then it went on to talk about how, according to a chart produced by Mother Jones, Dick and Betsy DeVos Foundation gave at least $8.6 million to private Christian schools during that time period. By comparison, the foundation gave $5.2 million to charter schools, $4.8 million to one charter school they founded, and just $59,750 to public schools during that time period. This means that less than 1% of their charitable giving towards schools actually went to public schools. And this was part of this profile they were doing. What? How much did they pay in taxes during this time, which did go to the public schools? And why should we donate money to government schools that are failing in their whole purpose? I mean, that's why we have charitable giving, so that the government doesn't fund these Christian schools. It gives students the opportunity to escape these failing schools that lack a moral foundation. Folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you once again with the words of the Apostle Paul, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.